listening to ESL Talk, a podcast made for English teachers by English teachers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome everyone to another brand new episode of ESL Talk. We've had a great start to season 6 and another good episode is looming today, so we are going to get into it in just a few moments. First off, just wanted to say a big thank you for all the downloads, all the support, and all the positive feedback we got from our previous episode last week with Saba. It was a really interesting concept and some really unique and useful perspectives I think we all gained from that episode, talking a little bit more about building these communities of practice and also trying to build community within your learning sphere or your learning circle as a teacher. So just building off that topic last week, we are going to look at something a little bit different but also really useful as well, which is about internationalization at home and in the curriculum. So we're actually going to be joined by our guest Alma, who is a university teacher in Mexico, and she's actually going to share with us her innovative approaches to global education and how she fosters intercultural competence within her classes. A lot of her students don't necessarily have the opportunities to travel, to be immersed in English education, to be around English all the time, so she has to really try hard to incorporate as much of it as possible into her classes, into her environment, and into the content that she teaches. So we'll get into that with Alma in just a minute or so. Just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, ESL-curriculum.com, which offers 600 plus interactive, ready to teach, off the shelf lessons and materials, as well as games as well, all covered there for you with a free 2-week trial. Just go to ESL-curriculum.com to get started. And while we're on the topic of websites, you can also visit our very own website, ESL-talk.com, where you can access all of our previous episodes for free. You can find out a little bit more about our guests, and you can also apply to be a guest on a future episode as well. It's really pleasing to see the amount of requests that we do get from potential guests wanting to share their passion and wanting to share the areas of English that they're really interested in and they really care about. So if that sounds like something you'd like to do, feel free to go to the website and just hit the button at the top, be a guest, fill in a couple of short details, and we'll get back in touch with you. And then just finally, if you haven't already, please follow us on Instagram at ESL Talk Podcast. We're growing on there week by week. We're at about 4,300 followers, which is amazing. And we do post little snippets and videos on there too. So that is all the housekeeping taken care of. Why don't we get into today's interview with Alma, where we're talking about internationalization in the classroom and at home. Here we go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right. Hello, Alma. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the podcast.
Thank you, Daniel, for your invitation. I'm really delighted to be here. I'm so excited because it's my first time in recording in English. I just did in Spanish all the time. So thank you for the invitation.
Not a problem at all. I'm really excited to hear from you because we're going to talk about internationalization at home and in the curriculum. Before we get into that, Alma, can you tell me a little bit about your teaching journey? How did you start teaching English whilst you were growing up in Mexico?
Well, since I was a kid, I loved English language. I didn't think to be a teacher in the beginning because my parents are teachers. And in Mexico, it's like you don't get a lot of money and a lot of things, but they are really patient about their students. And they shared that patience with me. And I always liked the English language. My bachelor is in international business, and I went abroad. But when I was back, I decided because I always have the, how I can see, the inspiration. Mm-hmm. And also because the English language, I think it's like a window for the world. And I took some trainings in teachers training in TKT and also another degrees here for teaching in secondary school and also in higher education programs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It sounds like you've had that passion and that love for English for a very long time. And it's great that you're able to use that and leverage that to help you in your career right now. So we're going to talk about this concept of internationalization at home. And what exactly is this concept and what is its importance in today's educational landscape?
Well, the formal definition is that it's intentional integration of international and intercultural dimensions into formal and informal curricula for all our students with domestic learning environments, according with Jones. But my real definition is like to integrate an international and intercultural view for our students here at campus. Like, for example, when our students cannot go abroad because, you know, like, I think it's the 4% in the world that they can be able to go to another country and to do an exchange program.
Right.
Is why this concept is more inclusive.
Yes, it's very difficult. I agree. You know, I think all students should have opportunities to learn and immerse themselves in other languages like English. But if you don't have the financial means, it's a real challenge, especially at the public school level. So I really like this idea of trying to immerse them as much as possible and create that environment, you know, in their home country. So what are some strategies or some methods that you found effective in promoting this intercultural competence? You know, how have you been able to implement this?
Well, I have one strategy that is to create a curriculum with some colleagues for a class, and mm-hmm. I invite them from different countries. You are a guest professor in my class, so you saw that I have this planning in my curriculum. Also, because some of my students can interact with them. They can know about their cultures, about their language. When I was studying university, I didn't have this opportunity because they were not technology, like these platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important.
Yeah, I would say so too. And when you're trying to, you know, like you said, you know, you have guest professors or guest speakers from other countries, it can be a really nice way to get, you know, your students exposed to that. How can your students interact and develop? What can they do to build this internationalization within their own studies or within their own kind of autonomous learning methods?
Well, sometimes I create an activity. Mm-hmm. With breakout rooms, and so also they can interact with the students from the other professor. Mm-hmm. And they can know about intercultural competence, that the things are different in other countries, and also because they have to read before about why it's important to respect other cultures, other religions, and to interact with others.
Yes, I think so, because like we discussed and like we talked about in the class that we taught earlier, you know, a lot of times students don't have those opportunities to learn those experiences and learn, you know, those different unique differences between cultures, and they don't have those opportunities to ask questions. So I think there can be a good bridge and a good way to help achieve that. So could you share some examples of how you integrate global perspectives into your English teaching?
Yes, we talk about Agenda 2030 and mm-hmm. the Sustainable Development Goals.
Okay.
And I always talk about that even as we can create small change, like for example, learning another language, learning sign language. In Mexico, we face the challenge that we have indigenous groups. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we didn't respect in the past, or we didn't notice the importance of preserving these groups. And I always encourage them to know more about their country, about their communities, the languages, and also to do small things, like, for example, taking care of the environment, to have inclusive in the same classroom, to inclusive opportunities for all. When we see that someone is struggling with something, mm-hmm. or also, what else I can say, another example. It's because with also gender equality,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you know that there is a stereotype about Mexico that men are stronger than women. We always talk about that in my classroom.
Okay, so yeah, I like that. You know, that in a country like Mexico, it's not always easy to, like you said, travel, to go abroad, to have those experiences. So why not use the opportunities that you have in your local area, your local community, and a little bit wider as well. I like that idea. And I think as well, just building, you know, global issues, environmental issues, you know, helping support indigenous groups, I think that's a really valuable way for them to interact and to open their mind and expand their horizons, which I really like. So in your experience, what role does language learning play in fostering internationalization? What are some things you've tried with this?
Well, it's a window to explore the world, because as you say before, in the class, the students can interact, they can open their own perceptions with people from other parts of the world. And it's a lingua franca because, for example, I have some students that they don't know Japanese or they don't know French or German, but if they will interact with a speaker from another country, they know English, so that's the lingua franca to interact with them. And mm-hmm. to also the readings that we have in my class, they are always the majority in English. And all the literature that we have in different research mm-hmm. are in English language, so that is why they can see or they can listen on YouTube. Now you can listen a lot of information about what is happening in the world, like now with the war. Also, we know that there is this conflict, and we cannot, we are global humans and global citizens, so we mm-hmm. need to have this active role to yes. care about others and other cultures and other
yeah.
countries.
We've got to help our students to think bigger than just their area, their neighborhood, their community, and look at these from a global perspective. Absolutely. Sounds a little bit challenging, but I think it's realistic as well for especially older students. But how do you balance teaching the language skills with these cultural awareness issues? Like, how do you make that distinction? Because it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy, and it's always complicated to balance the language and the culture, but you cannot separate. You as an English teacher, you know that when you are learning from another language, you have to teach them their customs, the traditions. Like we always celebrate Halloween, St. Patrick's, or we read about what is happening on Valentine's around the world, that not mm-hmm. everybody celebrates Valentine's, that we don't celebrate St. Patrick's, but we celebrate Day of the Dead.
Yes.
Sometimes other countries didn't know before Coco. Now they understand more about our cultures.
Absolutely.
To have these people in our lives.
Yes.
And because they say how they can celebrate something that is sad, but it's not sad for us because the people live for us always.
Yeah, I love that movie. And it's, again, that's a great example of an easy way to help people, understand more about a culture or understand more about a way of living. And that's a perfect example. So could you describe any challenges you've encountered when trying to implement internationalism initiatives into the classroom? What are some difficulties that you face when you're trying to talk about these international issues and concepts?
Well, one of the challenges is always the language, because not even we speak English in Mexico, not everybody speaks mm-hmm. English, because like we were talking before, in there are small communities that they don't have technology, that they cannot have resources to learn another language. So not all my students, but I always try them to encourage them to speak English.
Yep.
And also one of the other challenges is the time zone, because when we have had guests from Asia, from Japan, or from Indonesia, mm-hmm. there is really a challenging planning. And also I have to ask the students to switch their normal schedule from the class to another mm-hmm. time, and mm-hmm. that they have to participate in to settle everything. Sometimes it's a little challenging, but I have had a lot of motivation, because the students always love this kind of activities. They say, oh, thank you very much, teacher, because I never could do an exchange, and this was my opportunity for being in contact with someone else, or for practice my English, or interact with someone different than me.
Great. That's really wonderful that you provide those opportunities. And, for example, today I was lucky enough to be a guest speaker at a lecture with your class, and it was a really worthwhile thing for me as well, because like I said, it's very motivating to see so many students who want to be successful teachers and they want to help others using English. So it's a really rewarding thing for guests as well as for the students as well.
For them were very inspiring. Your words and all your experience are really meaningful for them.
Well, that's very much appreciated. Again, it's just about sharing experiences and sharing knowledge, which is what teaching is really when we think about it, at a simple level. But I wanted to ask you about resources and tools. Like, what do you recommend for teachers who they want to get more internationalization into their class, into their teaching? What are some tools that they could use to help them with that?
Well, I always use these platforms like Zoom, like Meet, Classroom, and other and other like Moodle.
Yes, LMS platforms.
LMS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. But also there are a lot of videos now in YouTube or other channels about internationalization
yes.
of the curriculum, about COIL, collaborative online learning program.
Yes.
So I always recommend these, and I have an article about this, about my experience with another professor in Mexico. He's from another state that is called Veracruz, and it's really different where I live. So also we have had this experience with our own students, because in Mexico from the different regions are really different. We do this sometimes in these platforms, and also you can look about our article about this experience, and they always say that it was they could develop some skills.
Wonderful. That's very, very nice to know that you're again collaborating and networking with other educators in your community. And I'd always say to our listeners as well, you know, try to build a network where you live. You know, if that's a local organization you can join for English teachers, or it's a local teaching forum, try to build community, because it will really help you to enhance your skills and your knowledge and your confidence in teaching as well. Now, speaking of that, what are some specific methods or approaches that you have found effective for internationalizing your curriculum?
Well, there are a lot of approaches and methods, but I cannot, well, internationalization is not a recipe, because
sure.
I think it depends also of the person, but I think that one of the most important methods is, like you say, networking and collaboration, because if the teachers are able to do this with the students, you can create a network, like, for example, with this professor that we have been collaborating for years. It's really weird, because we met because an Erasmus project, and I met him in London, he was here in Mexico, and we start to work with this program that is called PROFIC, it's Intercultural Competence Development Program, and there were more universities in this program, and also they have different approaches, like intercultural competence with Darla Dierdo. And also there is one that is called Story Circles, that I think that helps you in internationalization. They have some cases that you can implement in your classroom, but there are some examples. I think there is no a recipe, and you can use that, you can use COIL, you can use a lot of others.
So how would you measure, or how would you assess your students' intercultural competence and their language proficiency? Because you've mentioned these two ideas, how would you assess them simultaneously? Because it seems quite tricky to do. How would you do it?
Well, I have sometimes rubrics to assess the, for example, the speaking or the reading, or when I'm teaching the language, right? The grammar and other points. But when I talk about these soft skills, like intercultural competence, communication, or teamwork, I assess them with a survey. I use some scales, and they have to ask this survey to see if I think I accomplished the goals of the class. And I have had some good results, but I don't know, because, you know, also we apply a focus group once about to measure and to see the difference about students that go abroad and students that they didn't go abroad. So because I think it's not, you don't have to go abroad to develop an intercultural competence.
Very
true. You can develop from internationalization at home.
That's a good point. Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
But it's still challenging, because
of course
I think it's really hard to measure, but I try to do my best.
We hear so much about immersion, being surrounded by the language, having opportunities, and having, you know, as many different stimuli to help you with the language. And obviously that's very restrictive if you're not able to go to that country, or you're not able to leave your country. So I appreciate the challenge that might be in place. So if fellow teachers or fellow educators want to create a more globally inclusive classroom, how could they do that? What advice would you give them?
Well, I encourage them to send me an email, and I can give them some tips, but also they can research for COIL, they can research for internationalization at home. There are some articles. I have had some articles, but unfortunately they are in Spanish. I think the next step is to do it in English, because I want that more people read it. But, you know, like to publish an article, a scientific article, is not easy in your own language, and also in another is challenging.
I understand. Yeah, but that's great. Thank you for being so supportive. And I will share your email in the description for this episode. So if you do want to get in touch with Alma, you can do it just by looking in the description. I'll drop the email there for you. Alma, in your opinion, what would you say are the long-term benefits of internationalization for students and teachers? How is this going to benefit us as teachers? How is it going to benefit our students?
Well, the long-term benefits, I think it will be that they can work with different people from them. Because nowadays in higher education institutions, we talk about the importance of soft skills, and sometimes we don't notice the importance of this in the classroom. So I try them always to tell them that it will help them to work in an international company. Even here in Mexico, we have a lot of automobile industries. And the students that they have this knowledge, they are not afraid to interact with others. And also the teachers, if they go to another country to teach, they are open to collaborate, they are more open-minded, they have like, I think it will be these long-term benefits, like to develop intercultural competence, to care about others, to be empathic.
Amazing. There's a lot of benefits to this, and it's really, really lovely to, think about these ways we can help our students more and how we can support them more by creating an environment that is more immersive, more inclusive, and helps them think outside of the box and helps them think more about the real world around them, not just the community that they live in. So if our listeners would like to find out more about these ideas and connect with you, how can they do that, Alma?
Well, they can connect with me by my LinkedIn and also with my email address. I'm always open to collaborate to help people from different parts of the world. I have had a program last year with an Egyptian university, and it was the first time that I have contact with people from other countries that they were really different than me. And it has been a wonderful experience. And also that we were talking before about to break up the comfort zone, not just the students, also the teachers. Because I know that it's a lot of planning and a lot of things that you have to do, but I think the satisfaction, the inspiration that the students tell you after this, like when you were my guest, the students were really, and I think now they are really motivated to keep going to do something different. Because you mentioned something very important, that if you are teaching a doctor, a surgeon, a surgeon, so the teachers are taking care of these people that will take care about lives. So
Exactly.
that is the meaningful thing about being a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, this is part of the reason why we make the podcast is so teachers can listen, they can feel inspired, they can feel motivated, and they can feel like, that they are valued and they do have a huge role to play in society. And I strongly believe that, and I know you do too. And I know your students do as well, Alma. So that was yeah, I think we've covered everything, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you for sharing these ideas on internationalization and also talking about how we can approach it from a teaching perspective and how we can help our students to internationalize a lot more. So thank you so much for your time today, Alma.
No, thank you very much for the invitation. Really, I was a little nervous. I hope the listeners didn't notice,
I
but
don't
thank you
think
very
so.
much.
You're
I
welcome.
was
Thank
very
you.
happy to do it.
All right. Thank you so much, Alma, for joining us today and sharing your insight and experience and passion on what was a very interesting and relevant topic. Again, it's really wonderful to hear how it's sometimes very difficult to create an English environment, but Alma was able to do that and tries every day to do that to help her students as much as possible. And you probably have heard in the interview as well, I was actually invited to give a guest lecture for her students. And it was wonderful to see how energetic, how enthused, and how motivated they were to learn English and also, teach and inspire English learners in the future as well. So a really wonderful experience overall, and another reason why I love, hosting the podcast and connecting and building community with so many wonderful teachers from all around the world.
So that is it for this week. Don't forget before you leave to check out our sponsor, esl-curriculum.com, start your free 2-week trial, and you can also go to our website, esl-talk.com, check out all our previous episodes, 75 plus and counting. And again, don't forget to subscribe if you're not a subscriber. We have new episodes every Wednesday. So we will see you next Wednesday for a brand new episode. Thank you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for even more ESL teaching content.